meaning that we have been unable to develop a conceptual framework which could have an impact on the public discourse in order to outline, design alternative models of man and society. Let's say, trying to answer the question, is an alternative globalization possible? I would like to point out that if there has been a silence of sociologists, a much louder silence of economists has taken place. And in my intervention, I would like to cope with three points. One, a definition of the current crisis as a structural crisis, not conjunctural, and as an expression of contemporary globalization. The second, an analysis of the cognitive framework which contributed to the crisis and was developed mainly by economists, although, as Marjorie was pointing out, was had to some extent, at least by some sociologists. And here, I think that as a sociologist, we can give a contribution, a theoretical contribution, in trying to expose the main aspects of this cognitive framework, which became mainstream economics, the theory of the self-regulating market, and other related issues. Third, I would like to point out that the crisis was not predicted, was not prevented, not only because global processes made the policy instruments of states, national states, much less effective than in the past, not only because of predictive errors by regulators, but also because of active and effective lobbying, pressure politics by powerful interest coalition. And here again, sociologists and political scientists can help in understanding the crisis and trying to overcome it by exposing these kind of mechanisms. So first, the crisis. I say we all know how it develops. What I want to point out very briefly is that it's structural in at least a double sense. It is a traumatic expression of the contradiction of globalization, and first of all, of the contradiction between increasing economic, financial, technological interdependence on one hand, and continuing and even increasing political fragmentation and cultural diversity on the other, which highlights the basic lack of mechanism of global governance. The present crisis took place because global finance has developed in a new unregulated forms at an unprecedented rate since the controls of national governments proved to be ineffective given the erosion of sovereignty. And given the fact that this type of control haven't been superseded by a new system of international regulation and global governance. But it's structural also in the sense that major disequilibria have arisen between creditor countries with fast-growing export-led economies, high rates of savings, huge balance of trade surpluses and reserves in dollars like China, and debtor countries like the United States with highly financialized mass consumption economies, high levels of public and private indebtedness and huge balance of trade deficits. Given its structural character, the crisis must also be placed in a kind of long-term just short term. Certainly we can say that it implies the end of the collapse of global capitalism. Globalization goes on. Capitalism has once again proved to be a very resilient and adaptive system of economic and social activity. But it means that one phase is closed. The 30 years phase, which started in the late 70s, in reaction to a previous phase, the Trente-Glorieuse, and which developed because high increases in the cost of natural resources and, to a lesser extent, in the cost of labor, prompted a shift from demand-side policy to supply-side policies, and demand-side economics, Keynesian, to supply-side economics. But it took place also because of the conscious policy intervention by government in the direction of deregulation and privatization. I argue that the cognitive framework which helped Reagan's policy, Margaret Thatcher policy, and in general the hegemonic role of one type of world capitalism, the Anglo-Saxon market-driven model, was important in fostering this kind of system which brought to the present crisis. Which are the main features of this cognitive framework? Is the theory of the self-regulating market, the market as a spontaneous order, and the fact that markets are capable of restoring a state of equilibrium because they have no inherent, let's say, endogenous causes of crisis. And if a crisis erupts, usually the explanation is the black swan metaphor or the perfect storm metaphor, such a combination of different facts which combine to create a very extraordinary situation, or some exogenous factors which is usually not considered in their models. This of course is a type of framework which became mainstream in the best American, not only American universities. Nobel Prizes were granted to supporters of this model. And this broadly influenced the behavior and the attitude of economic actors and ordinary citizens as consumers, but not only as consumers. There are of course other elements which are related. It is not only a question of the self-regulated market, the economics, rationality and so on, but for instance, the predominance of the virtual economy over the real economy, a conception of money that overstresses its symbolic component, the financialization of the economy. You know that global financial assets rose from $12 trillion in the 1980s to $240 trillion in 2009, IMF data. A growing number of investors bought sophisticated financial products that were more and more separated from the real economy, seeking higher returns and underestimating higher risk. A growing number of chief executives adopted a model of corporate control that conceived the firms in purely financial terms, according to which each productive unit is evaluated according to its capacity to generate short-term shareholders' value, while long-term investments are neglected and other stakeholders' interests are neglected. Now, we cannot say that within our own community there weren't voices against this, but this was a prevailing mode, it was hegemonic, so it was very difficult to be heard, but we have many instances. So the silence of sociologists has not been so complete, let's say, or it must be to some extent redefined. The symbolic component of money as an abstract representational system has obscured the other basic meaning of money as a measure of value based on production and exchange of concrete goods and services. And here in our sociological tradition, we have great works. Philosophie des Geldes by Simmel, or The Engineers and the Price System by Thorsten Veblen, and I could make many other examples. Why this cognitive framework was so important? It was very important because it performed a series of functions. First, it provided a quote, scientific legitimacy for economic agents, financial institutions, investors, corporate managers, business consultants, and government advisors, to adopt a type of economic behavior that not only was arrogant and greedy, but underestimated risk. Self-regulation didn't take place. Leverage was excessive, with the result of huge gains, but also of huge losses. Second, and even more important, it legitimated the huge gains of financial investors, corporate chief executives, and so on, opinion makers, auditors, consultants, researchers. Third, it fostered a general climate of euphoria of American families, not only in Western countries, developing countries' families, but mostly, first of all, Americans, persuading them that housing prices would continue to rise, consumer spreads would continue to expand, and new financial products that were certified by rating agency, affected by clear conflicts of interest, were safe since risks were guaranteed by the interconnection of financial institutions. Here again, some basic sociological concepts were completely neglected. The notion of trust. The banking system can shift in a matter of hours from great confidence, where everybody is willing to intervene, to sustain the other who is temporarily in trouble, to a situation in which no one trusts anybody else. Also because he doesn't know exactly how much the other is involved in shadow finance, for instance. Anyway, as I said at the start, if this paradigm of the self-regulating market and all the related other aspects of mainstream economics